Rat Pack, where you at?
What's going on? It's the FTN Fantasy Football Podcast. My name is Jeff Rackliff, and it is Thursday, November 2nd. Heading into week 9 here. Just a friendly reminder yet again. It never hurts to remind a couple times. That's what I always tell my wife anyway, is that, of course, we have this 9:30 a.m. Eastern game on Sunday. Set a reminder just in case you don't want to be caught with your pants down, in case a player is a surprise inactive. However, one of those players who I don't think will be a surprise inactive is Raheem Mostert. He said he's going to be good to go, so that at least a good thing. Of course, we do have wide receiver cornerback to talk about on the show today as well. I'm going to dive into matchup upgrades and downgrades for DFS purposes, but just wanted to run through a few of the injury slash moving pieces because one is not an injury. At least I really don't think it's injury-based. I mean, Desmond Ridder had a concussion or whatever and left last week's game at halftime. Of course, we saw Taylor Heinicke come in, and honestly, the offense looked pretty decent. Ridder is not in concussion protocol. He was practicing in full yesterday, but we did finally find out from the mustachioed Arthur Smith that Taylor Heinicke is going to be the starter this week. Will he be the starter the rest of the season? That we don't know. We do know Aiden O'Connell will start going forward. I don't know if it's going to be for the rest of the season, but at least it's not just a this week thing for the Raiders. And let me talk about that in a second, but just to tie a bow on Heinicke, there's upside there, of course, but there's also downside there. Like, it's not as if Taylor Heinicke's never started a game. We've seen him, for example, last season, there were times where it looked decent, very usable for fantasy purposes. There were also times where it was dreadful. And I think that's kind of what we're looking at here. I would love to say, oh, this is amazing for Kyle Pitts and Drake London. By the way, Drake London not practicing yesterday, so we'll keep an eye on him. But I can't say that. I can't. I want to believe. I want to Ted Lasso this thing. I want to believe. I'm trying to be a goldfish, but I can't forget about the bad times there with Taylor Heinicke. So, if anything, I don't think it's going to be any worse than Desmond Ridder, but I don't know how much better it's ultimately going to be. As for Aiden O'Connell, I get why they're making the move. I mean, you rolled out your head coach, you rolled out your offensive coordinator, and your general manager, so just pretty much cleaning house there. And Jimmy Garoppolo was a part of the problem as well. It wasn't just the coaching staff. I know that crap tends to roll downhill, but he's not suited to be a starting quarterback. He could be a backup. He could be a guy who spot starts for you, but they were kidding themselves with him at quarterback. So why not try the rookie? Ultimately, I don't think there's much here. O'Connell can push the ball downfield. He did target Davante Adams, and I mentioned this on the podcast yesterday, 13 times back in whatever that was, week 3 or week 4, whatever it was, when he started earlier in the year. So he's going to chuck the ball around the yard a little bit, but I don't think he's going to be a long-term star. I think they're going to be in the market for a quarterback, whether that's in the offseason. There could be some opportunities in the offseason with some moving pieces here. Or if they're in play, there's going to be several first-round quarterbacks this year. Certainly going to be several. I don't think they'll be in play for the number one overall pick, although it's still a long ways out until the end of the season. We're only just making that turn for the halfway point. However, they'll be in the market for a quarterback. I highly doubt that quarterback's going to be Aiden O'Connell, but he will get every opportunity to start going forward. So he should be rostered in Superflex this week. He might be playable in Superflex, to be honest with you, because we've got four teams on bye. So he is in there as the starter. Couple other injury situations. I'm not worried about Josh Allen. He didn't practice yesterday. Definitely not worried about that. Intrigued the fact that Gus Edwards missed practice, obviously coming off the big performance last week. He's got a toe issue. Keep an eye on him. Amari DiMercato also with a toe issue, not practicing. We won't have James Conner this week. He's not eligible to return. So we're going to wait and see what happens next week. Jonathan Gannon said he's excited. Connor, that is excited to get back out there, but he didn't give us a timetable. Still don't know about Kyler Murray there as well. So wait and see if you have Kyler. If you have him on benches, I'm going to keep him there because there's still obviously an intriguing ceiling. Matthew Stafford not practicing, not a surprise. Looks like it'll be Brett Rippon, so that is not good. Puka Nacua also banged up, but he is at least limited in practice. However, the more I look at this, I was hoping the John Wolford thing actually happened. He knows the offense, mobile enough. Wasn't going to help Nacua or Kupp, but better situation than Rippon. It's beginning to look like Nacua could slide to back end wide receiver two territory in my rankings update. They're both still usable, but obviously we have a much lower ceiling than with Stafford out there. Darrell Henderson is now signed to the active roster, so no longer on the practice squad. By the way, speaking of practice squad, getting a lot of questions about Leonard Fournette. Okay, so Leonard Fournette is still on the Buffalo Bills practice squad. There's no guarantee that he is on the 53-man roster, like elevated from practice squad this weekend. Just keep that in mind if you picked him up. If you picked him up, you didn't pick him up necessarily for this week. Now, if you did, yikes. You may want to look elsewhere, because even so, it'll be his first game with the team. So don't go too overboard there. Don't freak out if he remains on practice squad this week. Moving to the Giants really quickly here, Daniel Jones looks like he's going to get back out there. Tyrod Taylor could go to injured reserve, so they need him back out there. However, they will be without Darren Waller. He's already declared out, and he could miss some time. Wouldn't be surprising if he landed on injured reserve, to be bluntly honest here. I've had a lot of questions about what do you do if you had Waller. You may not be in a situation where you can continue to roster him. And, you know, if you're in one of these like four or five bench spot leagues, you might have to just outright move on from him. I don't think that's the worst. Like, I don't think it's disastrous, because there are some of these tight ends who are, you know, kind of on the rise a little bit. And there are some who are kind of just sitting there. They haven't really broken out yet, but they have shown signs. Like, I'm thinking of like somebody like Luke Musgrave. You know, you can get some streamers this week. And if you had to move on from Waller, so be it. All right, let's move over to wide receiver cornerback matchups for the week. Reminder, this information is for a DFS crowd. Why is it for a DFS crowd and not for the season-long fantasy crowd? Because our goals are different. Obviously, we want to win in both, but in season-long fantasy football, I am happy if the player hits their midpoint or above. But I'm really shooting for that midpoint. So if we play this week out 10,000 times, what's the average amount of fantasy points that player scores, right? That's their midpoint. If they hit that or above, and I do that across my lineup, I'm going to field a pretty good lineup. Now, it doesn't mean I'm going to beat my opponent, because they could still field a better lineup, but I'm putting out the best possible lineup I can with the highest percentage chance of scoring the most points that I can out of that group of players. That is not the goal in DFS. In DFS, I want to hit the ceiling. First and foremost, I don't want to hit the midpoint. Midpoint doesn't win me the money, right? I want to hit the ceiling. I want to be on the right side of ownership. I'm facing thousands upon thousands of lineups instead of just one. And I also have salaries to navigate. So that's why we get a little bit more granular here. Yes, you can use some of this information to inform your decisions for season long, but I would not just use matchups. That's really anything in season long where we're using just one variable. Typically not a good approach. All right, some upgrades for you. I am upgrading Adams and Myers. Devontae Adams, Jacoby Myers against the Giants. This is a weird game. Now, we have seen some teams when the head coach gets fired, they come out and they play like this inspired football. That could happen. I'm not banking on that. But this one really just comes down to the matchup. I do expect Adams to see Deontay Banks. Over his last two games, he's allowed 14 catches for 196 yards, so good for Adams. And that would mean Myers will see Adoree Jackson. He's allowing a 75% catch rate, 14.4 yards per catch on the season. Garrett Wilson gets a nice upgrade. I like both sides on the perimeter in this matchup against the Chargers. Asante Samuel Jr., second among corners with 534 receiving yards allowed, 15.7 yards per catch. On the other side, Michael Davis has allowed 5 receiving touchdowns on the season, so good spot there. Great spot for CeeDee Lamb. Obviously, we know he's absolutely rolling over his last two games. 19 catches, 274 yards, 2 scores. And the Eagles secondary is especially susceptible in the slot. They've used countless amounts of defenders to man the slot this season. And last week, well, the last 2 weeks, really, they've turned to Sidney Brown, the safety. Brown gave up 4 catches on 5 targets last week, did give up a touchdown. 41 yards wasn't a lot, but still, he's going to be overmatched against CeeDee Lamb. I really like Lamb to continue rolling. Also like this spot this week for Amari Cooper. Marco Wilson leads the league with 569 receiving yards allowed. Great spot there for Amari Cooper. How about Rashi Rice in this Germany game? I've talked about it several times on the podcast recently, but he is now clearly that top receiver from a route participation standpoint. He's obviously the top target, but it's all coming together. And the matchup this week is especially good out of the slot against Kader Kohou. He has allowed 40 catches on 48 targets, 11.1 yards per catch. That's a high number for a slot corner. Rice should have no problem getting his hands on the football. Let's go to the Bears. So I'll talk about the Bears in the matchup downgrade, the Bears secondary as a matchup downgrade, but they're also a matchup upgrade at the same time. We have like essentially polar opposites with Jalen Johnson playing great football and Tariq Stevenson not playing great football. On the season, Stevenson has allowed a touchdown in 6 of his 8 games. 1 each, so he's got 6 allowed on the season, which is the highest in the league. And who is the receiver who is most likely to see Stevenson? Michael Thomas. He lines up on the left 43% of the time, so he's the better bet to take advantage of this matchup upgrade. I also really like Stephon Diggs. He should see a shadow from Cam Taylor-Britt. Taylor-Britt is shadowed most weeks this season. However, why I love it, he leads all qualifying corners with 16.9 air yards per target. Air yards mean upside. Tons of upside for Stephon Diggs on Sunday night. Let's go to the downgrades, and I'm not going to bury the lead. Let's talk about Chris Olave since I just mentioned Michael Thomas. So the matchup is good on Thomas's side. It is not good on Olave's side. Jalen Johnson has been one of the best corners in the league. 11 catches allowed on 26 targets. So not only is he stingy, but quarterbacks are generally avoiding throwing his direction. Not a week to use Olave. I know it's been very up and down with him this season. Devontae Smith. I'm fine with A.J. Brown, but I am not going to use Devontae Smith this week. Of those two receivers, Smith is the more likely to see Deron Bland. And honestly, 2 months ago, if you told me I'd be really afraid of going after Deron Bland, I'd be like, you're crazy, man. You got a dart in your neck. You're crazy, man. I would not have believed you. I believe you now. 47% catch rate. He has 9 plays on ball. So a play on ball is either a pass breakup or an interception. Pretty good. And of the two, the player who lines up more frequently on Bland's side is Devontae Smith. So I'm not worried about A.J. Brown. This would be a week where I'd fade Smith. D.J. Moore, unfortunately, he's got 2 things working against him. First thing, Tyson Bagent's not going to push the ball vertically much. A lot of dink and dunk. We saw that last week. 10 targets for Cole Kmet. They were all dink and dunk targets. But it's also Marshawn Lattimore. I mean, he's pretty good. He's 57% catch rate on the season. Over the last 2 weeks, he's held opposing receivers to 7.3 yards per catch. Any week up against the Jets is a tough week. Not overly concerned about Keenan Allen, especially for season long. I don't know how much of him I'll have in DFS, but I can tell you I am outright fading Josh Palmer and Quentin Johnston in DFS this week. Sauce Gardner, DJ Reed, Michael Carter, all holding opposing receivers to under 9 yards per catch. They're keeping the ball in front of them. DeAndre Hopkins tonight, if you're listening to this in advance of Thursday Night Football, is going to see his fair share of Joey Porter Jr. I'm not expecting a shadow, but it puts a bit of a damper on Hopkins. I'm probably going to be lightweight on him in my showdown contest. Joey Porter's awesome. 3 catches on 12 targets this season. He got his first start last week. He played significant time the week before that. He's going to be a budding star. You know, the kid is as advertised. Lastly, the duo of DK Metcalf, Tyler Lockett, they have to travel into Baltimore, which is always going to be tough. The Baltimore Ravens defense is the only team in the league allowing under 10 yards per catch to opposing wide receivers. So a really tough spot this week for Metcalf and Lockett for DFS purposes. We're going to continue to use them as we would in season long, but DFS not going to be a part of my builds. All right, that's going to wrap it up for today. Tomorrow I'll be back with the flagship. We will go over the remaining games on the slate, get you set up for this weekend. Week 9, man. Hard to believe we're already at week 9. But we're rolling, man. We are rolling down the stretch. Remember, at Jeff Ratcliffe on Twitter, at Jeff Ratcliffe on Instagram, ftnfantasy.com. Go check it out. Promo code RATPACK for 10% off. I'll catch you on the flip side for another edition of the pod. I'm Jeff Ratcliffe, and I'm out.